Well, today we get two really fantastic stories in our readings. We have the story of Jacob wrestling in the night and the parable of the persistent widow. And I find it really interesting that these two stories are paired together on this Sunday because they really help interpret one another. And they have a lot in common, even though they were written to different audiences and at different times by different authors. So we start with the story of Jacob wrestling in the night. And we hear that Jacob is alone. So he, at this point in his life, has built up for himself a large family. He has a large nomadic tribe that is moving with him. And he sent all of that away. And it's in the stillness of the night that he encounters this man, or this angel that he wrestles with. And he wrestles throughout the whole night, being persistent in his fight, until he receives the blessing that he has asked for. Likewise, we see that we have this widow who, like Jacob, is vulnerable in a way. So Jacob is vulnerable not in social status, but vulnerable in being alone in the night without any of that status, without any of that accompaniment, without any of that comfort. And this widow, in some sense, is also alone. She is someone who would have been vulnerable in her culture at that time. But as we see in both stories, vulnerability does not equal weakness. Both of these individuals are incredibly strong individuals and really challenge our perception of strength and weakness with their persistence. And with both of them, they are mysterious characters. And particularly with the widow, we don't get really any backstory on her. All we know is that she is a widow and that she is persistent and that she is pursuing, she is wanting to be avenged and she wants this judge to help. And Jacob, we know more about because he's such a prominent figure in the Bible, but we also know that he's a fairly complicated person, that he is the one who was holding on to his brother's ankle as they were coming out of the womb, and that he tricked his brother out of a blessing, and he is in turn tricked at various times, and so he's not exactly always morally upright. And we tend to, in the Bible, assume goodness on a part of the widow because we're told that widows are in God's care. But we know nothing about this case of the widow. We hope that it's a good case that she is wanting justice for. But she kind of reminds me of the lobbyists that come to the Capitol. And there are fantastic lobbyists that come to the Capitol to champion just cases, to champion good causes. There are lobbyists that come to the Capitol that are complicated individuals. And there are lobbyists that come to the Capitol that I'm sure work against our ideas of what justice is. And what I find interesting about this story is that the system can bend. And so I think as Christians, we have a call to ask ourselves, how are we asking the system to bend? Are we asking it to bend towards justice or to bend towards something else? And not only is this a parable about justice and what is justice, but most importantly, it's a parable about prayer. Jesus says to pray always and do not lose heart. And this is where the parable can get rather tricky and can sometimes be hurtful to people. Because I don't think it's saying that if we only pray hard enough, if we only pray long enough, if we only pray with sincerity, God will grant us whatever we want. Since we're coming up on Halloween, that kind of thinking about prayer reminds me of the Great Pumpkin from Charlie Brown. I don't know if you all read this or saw it in one of the movies that came out, but when I was a kid, I used to go to the local secondhand bookstore. And even in my time, and I know I'm trending younger here, I could get these Charlie Brown booklets for like, it was a dime. I could get them for a dime on credit. And so I'd get these booklets, and I remember reading about the Great Pumpkin, and Charlie Brown's friend Linus would every year on Halloween wait in the pumpkin patch. And the story went that the Great Pumpkin, who was sort of like this deity, would come to the pumpkin patch that was most sincere. And so Linus would sit in this pumpkin patch and try to have the most sincerity so that he would be visited by the Great Pumpkin. And I think all of us who have experienced a long walk in faith know that this is not how prayer works. At some point in our life, either ourselves or someone that we know has prayed for something with great sincerity and has not received the answer that they have hoped for. And even the early church to whom this was written did not receive everything that they wanted. They were persecuted. They had real safety concerns about where they were living. And yet God was with them. And they did receive the strength of God to persist. And so while this is a story about prayer, I think it's also important to remember it is still a story about justice. And it's not so much about unanswered prayers as it is about persistence and the encouragement that we need when we are faced with the trials of life, and that we should not wane in our fidelity to God even when divine justice is delayed. It reminds us of the story from Jacob, and that is what prayer looks like. It looks like a long wrestling with God. Prayer is a spiritual practice that deepens our relationship with God. It realigns our heart to God. This is something that happens not in a moment, but happens throughout our whole life. And finally, this is a passage about faith. So prayer, justice, and faith are all linked together in this passage, and I want to argue that they really cannot be separated from one another. If we pray without thinking of justice, without participating, as perhaps the widow does or Jacob does, actively in the life of prayer, then we have empty words, or we see God as just a wish granter that we wait for passively to give us whatever we want. But if we work for justice without prayer, then perhaps we end up like the lobbyists with no moral center, petitioning for our own needs without considering the larger bend towards justice. Or even if we are just, we convince ourselves that all of the good work we do is up to us and is because of us, and that we are the heroes of the story. And a little secret of the Bible is in all of these parables that Jesus tells, God is the hero. Everyone is flawed, but God is always the hero of the story. And finally, if we pray and work for justice without faith, we will grow weary and discouraged when justice isn't done in the timeline that we desire. I was hearing about a book called Slow Kingdom Come, which was written by a man who worked in Haiti for decades. And he recalled how after an earthquake or a political unrest, volunteers would come in earnestly, passionately, with the right motivation to be of service to the people of Haiti. But then after 6 months, a year, they would be discouraged at how difficult it was to see the outcome that they wanted actualized. And the people that have the long-haul work of social justice know that oftentimes we plant the seeds and we hope and we have faith that they will grow, but we don't often get to see that end result. So we have to pray, we work for justice, and we have faith that the long arc of justice is bending in God's direction. And the good news is that God never abandons us. God never abandons this world. Living in hope, we work in whatever ways we can for the justice and peace we have faith that is coming. And Jesus shows us that faith is actively hoping and eagerly anticipating the coming reign of God. And through persistent prayer and tenacious action, we have a living faith that imbues God's work with our hands. We can't count on the systems that we have to participate in. They do bend. They bend towards justice, and they bend away from justice at times. But we can count on God. We can count on God to come down on the side of justice. We can count on God to hear those who the system works against. And we can count on God to hear the persistent prayers of our hearts. Amen.